Welcome to TERP Weekly Edition. I'm Kelly Rowan. I'll be your host this week as we uncover the latest in College Park. Today we discover a new location for your favorite Mexican restaurant, discuss the new GPA system at the university. We'll also talk to experts from Maryland's football team about their strength program and connect with graduate and undergraduate students about their struggle to find a job. But first, they are citizens, students, parents, teachers, and voters. Yet altogether, they occupy Washington, D.C. Some claim they are wasting their time, but all they want is a voice. TERP Weekly Edition's David Dobelt has more.
Sisters and brothers, it is about respect, and we aim to stand up today for dignity and respect for one another.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they camp out, spreading their message to anyone who will listen. Hanuman Ellis lost his job as a theater usher and has been occupying D.C. since the start.
We're here in the spirit of Martin Luther King. We're here in the spirit of Gandhi. We're here in the spirit of John Lennon. For we are the forces of love, and we shall not be moved.
And, he says, they help each other, and with outside support, they've created a self-sufficient community.
Medics, paramedics, lawyers.
On this day, the Washington, D.C. Teachers Union joins in on the movement to fix an economic system they say is broken.
Having access to high-quality teachers in their schools, and we're about doing the right thing.
The 99% is us, all of us together.
So a lot of the times, the actions of the local homeless community, when they come here, are used to tar us.
And this takes away attention from Occupy's peaceful message, causing D.C. residents to view the movement negatively.
And they're upset about the fact that they're here causing rush hour traffic and making it harder for them to get to work.
Many wonder how long it will all last. Occupiers say as long as it takes to fix the system.
For TERP's Weekly Edition, I'm David Doppel from College Park.
This job-seeking problem hits a lot closer to our campus than you think. The current economy is infamously known for not being friendly to the unemployed in search of jobs. With plenty of students about to graduate, they are not as excited to graduate as they once were. TERP Weekly's Brandon Busick has a story.
With fall commencement just around the corner, students are getting excited. But the rough economy is making it hard for them to be excited about finding a job. Studies show that only 56% of 2010's graduates had found a job by last spring. Michael Lawson recently graduated from Howard University with his degree in political science. He says it's been an uphill battle trying to find a job.
Pretty difficult finding a job. I pretty much search for a job every day, and I just thought fresh out of school I would find a job right off the bat, but it's not that easy.
Austin is not the only person struggling after college. In 2010, 80% of students moved back home after they got their degrees. That number has gone up 17% since 2006. Maryland senior Brittany Kirkland graduates in just 2 weeks and is very excited about it, but she is not too excited about the job hunt that lies ahead.
Although I haven't started looking for jobs right now, I know that the job market is very, very hard and unforgiving right now. So I know it's going to be very difficult and I'm not looking forward to it.
Even for those who find jobs, they're not as promising as they once were. The New York Times says that the median salary for recent college graduates is $27,000, $3,000 less than those who joined the workforce in 2008. It may be hard for students to find jobs once they graduate, but that doesn't mean that there aren't jobs available. They just might not be the ones that they expected. Studies show that 60% of graduates will settle for a job that does not require a college degree. For TERP Weekly Edition, I'm Brandon Busick.
Maryland students are not too thrilled about the new GPA system that the University Senate voted in favor of last month. TERP Weekly's Julie Peek connects with the students about this new grading system.
The University Senate voted in favor of implementing a new plus and minus GPA system last month. The current system gives students the same amount of points for scoring the same letter grade. The new system would add 0.3 more points to a GPA for pluses and 0.3 less points for minuses. Over 1,800 students have signed a petition urging the Senate to overturn the decision. Senior Martine Mastriani is one of them.
I think that the university should not implement this new GPA system because it hasn't been like that as long as we've been here. And I think that it's difficult because teachers oftentimes don't take into account pluses and minuses, which can throw off GPAs.
Senior Casey Gresh agrees and says all A's should be counted the same.
I think it sucks. If you get an A, you deserve an A, and like an A is an A, whether it's a 99 or a 90.
Other students don't care about GPA change. Senior Morgan Marin says she is indifferent about the policy since it would begin next fall and affect current underclassmen and incoming freshmen.
Honestly, if it doesn't go into effect until next fall, I'm not worried about it. You have to pick your battles, and I'm going to be graduating, so it doesn't matter to me.
Sophomore Sarah Daugherty favors the policy and says she wants her good grades to be acknowledged.
I'm really happy they're finally doing this because I work really hard to get my grades up to the absolute highest, and I think I should be recognized for my A pluses.
Because President Wallace Lowe has not yet signed the policy, students have not given up hope. Some say they plan to make a motion for the Senate to reconsider the debate at its next meeting in December. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Julie Peek.
Are you seeing double? If you love Mexican food, you've probably heard of Chipotle. In College Park, the lines are usually out the door. Weekly's Mercedes Mathis has exciting news about this popular restaurant chain that may save you time.
In a recent newsletter, city officials said Chipotle signed a lease to open a new restaurant in College Park. It will be located on Route 1 near IKEA.
I have a burrito, please, with brown rice, black beans, and chicken.
On this same street, the current Chipotle in College Park Shopping Center has been open since 2001, and business is great, according to its general manager, Anna Valdivia. Valdivia says a large majority of her customers are University of Maryland students, and when the university is closed, the store is not as busy.
So when they go on vacation, like summer break, spring break, winter break, it's like the business is like down to 50%.
Senior Chinese and communications major Sarah Evans believes that the success of the current Chipotle location contributed to another local Mexican restaurant, California Tortilla, closing its doors last month.
I wouldn't say I'm disappointed that Caltour is gone. But it is a shame that it was kicked out. People enjoyed it. People were, like, the servers were very friendly, and the food was good, too.
Black and chicken.
Jessica Potter, a senior criminal justice major and Chipotle fanatic, said the restaurant is usually so crowded that she had to come up with a plan to avoid the long wait.
The lines are, like, ridiculous. They're, like, all the way to the front door, and usually I will just order my thing online and then pick it up so you can completely go past the line.
The new location will be only 3 miles north of the Chipotle in College Park Shopping Center, but manager Anna Valdivia does not believe it will significantly decrease her store's sales.
$6.75. Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too.
Freshman history major Olivia Jackson agreed.
I don't think it'll greatly damage its business. I mean, people will still come, but I don't think it'll really have that much of an effect.
For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Mercedes Mathis.
The college football season is over, but Terp Weekly's Kirby Mills sat down with Drew Wilson, the University of Maryland's football strength coach, to talk about their in-season strength program and the overwhelming number of injuries the team has experienced this year.
Last time we sat down with head football trainer at the University of Maryland, Wes Robinson, to talk about the severity of concussions and other head injuries in college football. Continuing that theme, this week we are joined by Drew Wilson, Maryland's Director of Strength and Conditioning in his first year, to talk about injury prevention and athlete strength performance in the weight room.
Can you talk a little bit about your staff's goal and mission on a day-to-day basis?
Our mission is to increase performance, always try to increase performance, reduce the risk of injuries, and overall just try to establish, you know, a mental discipline amongst the athletes in terms of how we train them and, you know, just try to abide by the same principles that Coach Etzel instills in these guys through football and through his whole entire program.
And what about injury prevention? What do you do on a day-to-day basis and on an overall basis with your program to kind of prevent injuries?
When the guys come in the weight room, the first thing they do is they do some type of foam rolling or, you know, soft tissue rolling to help work the knots out of their muscles, you know, either from practice or previous training or from a game. And from there, we do things, you know, for our knees, neck, shoulders, hamstrings. You know, we try to address the areas of most concern, and those seem to be the most concerned areas in terms of knees, neck, and hamstrings. You know, but if there's a player that has specific needs in terms of injuries that he may have, you know, like some type of shoulder stuff, we may give him extra shoulder work to do, extra hamstring work to do if he has, you know, previous hamstring injuries.
It seems like this year there's a lot more injuries than teams may experience in the past. Is that something that you see? And if so, what do you think is attributing to that?
The injuries we're seeing this year, you know, we have a few knees and ankles, and, you know, I talk with Wes, you know, on a daily basis about that. And, you know, from his observation, there are injuries that you can't avoid. There's nothing we could have did in terms of training. And I don't get specific as far as the injuries that we could have prevented these injuries. I mean, unless you can find a way to stop, you know, a high force from dislocating a certain joint, you're not going to, you know, prevent those injuries with any type of training you do.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you and the sports medicine staff and Wes Robinson kind of coordinate with injury rehab and what you guys talk about on a day-to-day basis and how each of your programs kind of interact with each other to kind of prevent stuff like that?
Wes will send us a daily injury report. He also sends us a daily weight room report in terms of weight room restrictions. And him and I talk about what an athlete can do, not so to say what an athlete can't do in a weight room. You know, so if a guy comes in, he can't work his right leg, we still work his left leg with certain exercises that we know he can do that won't restrict him or, you know, harm him any further. We're always trying to, you know, evaluate how we can always get better in terms of what are other schools doing and keeping communication with what they do. And I think communication is a big key, making sure that, you know, if Wes hits him hard from a strengthening standpoint in rehab, we hit him hard from a conditioning standpoint, you know, maybe when we're out at practice working with the injured guys.
And as the season winds down, there's only a couple games left. You got here last January. You've almost got a year under your belt. Is there anything you would change or anything you're going to do different in your second year than you did in your first?
My goal this offseason is to advance our program from where we started last January. Last January was a basic program, which the guys got stronger off of, got faster off. Now I'm going to move steps forward into advancing their types of training they will do, especially with their older guys. We got a good group of older guys coming back, and the reason we're going to be able to do this is because the technique and the foundation has been laid for what needs to be done down there. They understand the objectives and goals, and, you know, it took a year to lay this foundation with the technique, and it's been continued to be laid through this season with our non-travel group. So this offseason, we'll be able to do a lot more things than we were able to do last offseason.
Finally, on this week's show, what is your New Year's resolution? Terp Weekly's Sarah Katz Hyman comes to us with Terp Talk once again. She finds out what Maryland students are trying to resolve for their New Year's.
Terp Talk!
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 Terp Talk! Terp Talk!
Terp Talk!
Terp Talk!
Terp Talk!
To be more organized, stop procrastinating, lose weight for my wedding, and finally finish school.
And my New Year's resolution is to get straight A's for the next two semesters.
And my New Year's resolution is to get more rest because I never get it.
Survive without getting a job.
I want to spend more time with my siblings.
My New Year's resolution is to stop procrastinating, start on work a little bit earlier.
To not eat junk food.
My New Year's resolution is to eat healthier and exercise more and just work on my overall well-being.
My New Year's resolution is to party more.
And my New Year's resolution is to get a job when I graduate.
My New Year's resolution for the year 2012 is to start an academy for training pets, especially cats, because they're hard to train.
Here's hoping all of your New Year's resolutions come true. For Terp Weekly Edition, this is Sarah Katz Hyman. Or archives of the show, visit www.twe.umd.edu. Until next time, I'm Kelly Raub.